B'choros, Perek Ches, Mishnah Gimel 8:3, the Mishnah now will begin to discuss a number of cases that deal with Sfeikas, a Suffolk. We're not sure exactly who was the B'chor in the story, and therefore what. So the Mishnah's first case is, Mishalo Bikra, Ishto, V'yaldo Shnei Zacharim. A man has a wife, she never had a child before, and now she gives birth to two sons, and the two sons are switched at birth. She gave birth in a cave somewhere, it's dark, and when the morning comes, they don't know which child was the first one born. So therefore, we know the father definitely has a bechor. This mother is the mother of it. We just don't know which of the two boys are the bechor. Says the Mishnah, Nosin chamish shloim lekohen. The father therefore must, of course, give the five shloim to a kohen for pidyon for his son. He doesn't know which son it is, but whichever one it is, he has to give it for. Meis echad mehem besoch shloshim yom. However, if one of the two boys dies within 30 days, so then if that boy who died was the firstborn, then the chiyuv to be po to him never kicked in. Pasuk says, "Ufuduyav miben chodesh tifta." From a month old, the pidyon is required. Before that, there's no obligation. Therefore, if the firstborn child was the one who died, and he died before 30 days old, there was never a chiyuv to be po to. And now, therefore, there's no certainty there's any obligation whatsoever. And the rule is, and the rule will be with all these mishnayos, that the kohen has the burden of proof because hamotzi mechavero alav araya. If the kohen wants to force the father to pay the five shloim, he has to prove he's owed it, and here there's no proof anymore. Therefore, he won't be entitled to anything. Therefore, the Mishnah says, "Meis echad mehen besoch shloshim yom." If one of the two boys die within 30 days, ha'av pater, the father's off the hook. Meis ha'av v'habanim kayamim. What happens if the boys make it past 30 days? One of the two are the b'chor. We don't know which. The father, however, dies prior to having paid any five shloim to poda his son. So now, each son on his own doesn't know that he's the b'chor, and therefore he, as an individual, is really exempt. Any kohen who approaches him, he could say, listen, hamotzi mechavero alav araya, and there's no obligation for a child to poda himself. However, since the obligation devolved on the father prior to his death, so therefore, like the estate, the father's estate has an obligation to pay the five shloim, it's like a monetary obligation, to a kohen. So therefore, the kohen has a claim on the estate. The question, however, is what happens if the boys already have divided the estate prior to the Kohen collecting his due? So, the Machlokas Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, the Machlokas really is dependent on something called Breira, retroactive allocation, but that's a little, if you want to understand in depth, you have to go learn. It's too much to explain here in the Mishnah, it's too involved. But the bottom line is, Rebbe Meir holds that the status of the two brothers after they divide their estate, at least according to Bar Tanura, the Gemara actually has a suffix, but anyways, going to Bar Tanura, they're called lekuchos. It's as if each one bartered and purchased his half to the exclusion of his other half. The two brothers split the estate, right? So as a lekuchos, meaning as a lokech, as a purchaser, the rule is that the purchaser is not obliged to, he's not, his property that he purchases is not encumbered by previous loans. Those loans aren't recorded in a physical written document. If it's just a verbal loan, what's called a milva al peh, a loan that's just not recorded on paper. So that doesn't encumber the property. Just the same way, if I buy someone's property, and then afterwards that someone's wife comes and says, listen, my ksuba has been paid, there's a lien, effectively halachic lien on the property, you need to pay it out of the property that you bought, it was encumbered. So that would be the case, because the ksubas are milva bishtar, it's a loan that's already recorded in a physical document. Here we have the five shloim obligation of the estate that came from the father is there, but there's no physical record, it's not there's no shtar, there's no contract. And therefore, a lokeach, a purchaser, which according to Rebbe Meir is the status of each of the sons, could say, listen, you have no written contract, I'm not obliged to pay you out of what I purchase here, my half. They say that I've sort of conceptually purchased. And therefore, each of the two brothers, according to Rebbe Meir, will be able to push off the Kohen and say, listen, no one said that I'm a Kohen. The estate owed you something, but now I'm a Lokoach, I'm a Lokeach, I'm a purchaser, and I have no further obligation to you. Therefore, says the Mishnah, if Meis Ha'av V'Habanim Kayamin, if the father dies and the both boys survived past 30 days, and the boys actually hit 30 days prior to the father dying, so they kicked in. Reb Meir Omer, Im Nasnu Ad Shlo Chalku, if the estate gave the five shloim prior to the splitting up of the estate, so then Nasnu, what was given, because the it was at that time still an obligation on the estate, and the Kohen collected justifiably. However, v'im lav, if the Kohen hadn't been paid prior to the two brothers splitting the estate, now patur, and each brother is patur, exempt from paying, because they have the status of being a lakuach, a purchaser. Rebbe Yehuda disagrees. Rebbe Yehuda holds that the purchasers have the two sons have a status of yorshim. Okay, this again is predicated on the notion of that there is such thing as brera. I can't get into that now, too complicated. But they have a status of yorshim, of heirs, meaning that essentially they each have inherited like an encumbered estate, and therefore that they don't have a status of lakuach, which exempt them from having to pay. So therefore, if the Kohen comes and approaches them and says, listen, you guys collectively owe me 5 zlotim, they'll have to pay it, they'll split it, the expense 50-50, will, but there is still a claim that's present on the estate, which they'd have to pay. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, so they would still have to pay. The estate has to pay, and therefore the heirs have to pay. There is a different way to explain the Mishnah, according to some Mefarshim, that actually Rabbi Yehuda, this is interesting, Rabbi Yehuda also holds that they're like lekuchos. He just says, listen, if you're a purchaser, it's true that you are not obligated to pay for loans that were not recorded on a document, a milva bepeh, just an oral agreement. However, since the Torah itself has written down that the father has to pay this 5 zlotim, the pidyon haben obligation is as if it were a milva b'shtar, as if it's written down in a contract. The Torah says it on a piece of paper, black and white, so to speak. And therefore, according to that approach, Rabbi Yehuda still holds it has to get paid to the Kohen, and therefore will get paid. And the halacha, anyways, is like Rabbi Yehuda at all events, meaning that the Kohen is from the two brothers can collect his 5 zlotim, which they will split the cost equally.